Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. This is my first time at this meeting. I'm from North County. Grew up in Valley Center. But I got sober in Escondido. I'm just going to share in a general format what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. I was born in San Diego, obviously, and grew up in Valley Center. I moved there when I was in fourth grade. My dad is an alcoholic. My mom is codependent, and he was like that ever since I was a baby. Not to say he's a bad guy, you know what I mean? I don't blame him. That's just the disease, and I understand that now, which I'm grateful for. You know, I used to really hate him and blame him and my mom, you know. But, you know, it's sad. I wish they could change, but all I could do is change myself, and I've learned that here, too. So from the time I was a kid, my dad was drinking, and he worked a lot. You know, he was working full-time. He supported my family. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. She married my dad, got pregnant, you know, never finished school, and got married, and raised my brothers and me. I have two brothers, an older brother who's 2 years older, and then a younger brother who's 2 years younger than me. So I was the middle child. Kind of grew up being a tomboy, you know, because I was around boys all the time. Grew up skateboarding, playing in the dirt, you know. And, but my mom, you know, she wanted me to be this, she tried to live through me. She wanted me to be, because she was unhappy with her own life. So when I was, you know, 11 years old, I started wearing makeup and just trying to become this person, you know. Didn't really know who I was, just trying to figure things out. Was kind of a shy kid, got good grades, you know, just A-plus student, always tried my best, you know, made friends easily, but I didn't trust people very easily. When I was 10 years old, I was molested. I was molested by my older brother when I was asleep. And he woke me up in the middle of the night, and it was just a very frightening experience. I was very scared. I didn't know who it was because it was dark, you know. He hid under the bed, and I leaned over the bed, and I felt his hair, and I knew it was him, and then I saw him crawl out the door. And the next day after school, I told my mom, and she told me to forget about it. Just, you know, forget it ever happened, because she didn't want to break the family apart. She didn't want to cause drama. She didn't want to lose her security, our security, you know, put our family in danger or be known as the weird family, you know, whose brother molested his sister, you know. So basically that became my big dark secret that I hid, you know. I buried it deep down into my unconsciousness. I never told anyone. I never told my dad, because I knew he'd probably beat my brother. I never told my little brother. I never told anyone. And I don't know if I was ashamed. I was confused, you know. And, like, I understand now that he was the 13-year-old boy, you know, who's horny and curious and, you know, it's not a big deal. It's not as big of a deal as I had made it. And I was just a little kid, and I didn't understand. And I felt neglected. Like, my mom threw me under the bus, you know. Like, I felt like she didn't care. And she was just trying to look out for the best of our family. I started drinking when I was 14. Started smoking weed when I was 14. And instantly loved it. You know, it was a way to escape. It was a way to feel good. It was a way to just kind of let loose and not care. And have a good time, you know. When I was drinking, I said whatever I wanted. I did whatever I wanted, and I just didn't give a fuck. Like, that was the best feeling. And, you know, to this day, I'm grateful I found all that. You know, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't have as much compassion and understanding. So that became my hobby. You know, on the weekend, I would drink, and I would smoke pot, and, I mean, I ditched school one day, and we stole, you know, my friend's car and her sister's car, and we got drunk and, you know, laid out by our pool topless. Like, that was like my freshman year, you know. That was fun for me, like, and all my friends, you know. And I blacked out and threw up, and I had a great time. I really did. And as high school went on, you know, I got into a relationship and, you know, met the first love of my life and, you know, was head over heels. And he introduced me to drugs. He introduced me to ecstasy and cocaine. And, you know, when I found cocaine, it was like all over. I was like, oh my God, I found my new drug. Like, this is it. Like, I feel like I can accomplish anything. I felt on top of the world, and combine that with some vodka, like, you know, this is how you party, like, and then, you know, I was just very open-minded when it came to drugs. I like to experiment, I like to combine things, and, you know, that would get me in trouble sometimes. I'd black out and, you know, wake up, and I just wouldn't remember anything, and I'd say I'm pretty lucky, you know. So basically what happened was, I just continued on that path. And, when I was 17, I met someone and he said to me, he said, "You have something you've never told anyone." And I was like, oh my God, like, this guy knows. Like, so I sat down with him and we talked about it, and he said, you know, you got to give that back. You have to give that back to your brother. And so I did. I wrote a letter, and I, you know, cried and was sad and whatever, and gave it to him. And, you know, we talked about it, and it's okay now. Like, me and my brother are cool, and I don't blame him at all anymore. My drinking, like, the end, towards the end, I was drinking all through my teens, partying all through my teens. Was always working, was always going to school. I was basically a functioning alcoholic like my dad. And just inside, I felt lost. I felt depressed. I had very low self-esteem. I just felt really sorry for myself. I would blame other people for a lot of my problems. You know what I mean? I couldn't hold down a job, and it was always their fault because, you know, like, I would just blame other people, and I was very immature is what I came to realize. Is I was like a, you know, I never grew up. And so I hit my bottom. Well, I'd been coming to AA for about 9 months. My first meeting was in Fallbrook. I went to an old-timers meeting, and I sat down, and I was with my boyfriend at the time, and he had a DUI, I had a DUI, and he was sent to AA, and the women there just opened up to me, and they gave me a big book, and they hugged me, and they welcomed me, and I felt so comfortable there. And I went back a couple times, and but, you know, I had the idea, like, in my mind, but I don't think I was ready yet. Like, I was introduced, but I wasn't ready. And I turned 21, had a horrible night, you know, got wasted, woke up the next morning, started drinking again, ended up falling on my face, you know, had this, like, huge scab from, like, here to here, just, like, and even then, you know, I wasn't completely done. It took me a while coming around to really get it. To really get the fact that I cannot drink, I cannot do drugs, and I cannot, you know, smoke weed. Because, you know, I thought, you know what, I'll just smoke weed, you know. That's weed's a drug too, you know. It's a mind-altering substance, whether we want to admit it or not, maybe natural. but so is Coke, you know. So I was in denial about that too for a long time. I was like, I'm not a stoner, I only smoke like twice a week, like big deal. But then, you know, sure enough, I go to this festival and I just get completely, I just, you know, get fucked up the whole time, and then I come back and my best friend, the person who had told me, like, you need this, like, the person who had confronted me, who saw my truth, said, you know, I don't want anything to do with you. You're destroying your life, and I cannot watch you do this. So I just hit a bottom emotionally, and I was very sad, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put my heart and soul into it, and I'm going to do it. And so I stopped half-assing it. I stopped going to only one meeting a week, you know, and I did every suggestion. I went to 90 meetings, 90 days. I got a sponsor. I got two commitments, one at a young people's meeting, one at a women's meeting. I took a semester off of school because I just needed a break. You know, I needed to clear my mind. I just needed to focus on myself. I stopped dating for 9 months, which was really hard for me. It's really hard. But again, I needed to focus on myself. I needed to make my sobriety my number one priority. Because I realized, you know, if I can't stay sober, I'm not going to have anything, including the people that I love the most. And that was the most important thing to me. So I just dove in headfirst. I even went to other lengths. You know, I started reading books. I read this book. It's called Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And that book, like, changed my life. I love that book. I read the big book, you know. I worked my steps. I volunteered at an animal shelter, like, once a week, walking dogs just to get exercise and to help dogs. Just something to do because I was bored, you know. And now I have, you know, I have 2.5 years now. And I feel great. I mean, I just got my own room. I've never moved out. I've never lived on my own for the first time. Like, I have my own freedom now. It's amazing. Like, I have a job. I work part-time. I go to school part-time. Like, I'm supporting myself. I have a sponsee. I have a sponsor. I work with both of them. I have a home group that, you know, I usually go to. I've definitely made this program part of my life. And I have a lot of friends in the program, too. And a lot of people that I see, and they're my friends. And I hope that you all find hope, because it's out there. And thanks for listening.